Thank you for tuning in and listening to Oasis of Love's Sunday's message.
But you know what? Liberty still stands today. The freedom to stand in a church and declare the love of Jesus Christ. The fact that as our nation stands strong, we are able to pass on to our children the very liberty that was passed on to us. That's the amazing thing about it all. It's only one generation away from being extinct, the freedom that we enjoy right now. So we do have to be mindful. We do have to be one that'll stand in the gap, whether you put on a suit, you know, a military suit, whether you're carrying a gun or just going to the ballot box, speaking your heart in love to those who want to tear this country down, knowing full well that it was founded in the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful gift that we have. And I'm so glad because of the purpose of Memorial Day is to remember, Veterans Day, is to remember and memorialize the fact that we're never going to forget their sacrifice. It's been 100 years since they instituted this particular holiday. Never forget that. For those in World War II and the Korean War and the Gulf Wars and all the wars until Jesus comes, never forget their sacrifice. And it's also there to inspire us, to continue their legacy of service, their legacy of sacrifice and honor. It is so important for us to embrace that. Because as Christians, we know what the gospel says in John chapter 15. It says, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. What a powerful truth. What a way to live. Because that ensures the freedom that we have right now, and it brings our country together instead of tears it apart. The power of that. If you got your Bibles, would you open to Matthew chapter 8? Matthew chapter 8. And while you're looking, let me just share with this. I love what 1 Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:21. He says, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He stood against tyranny. He made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. And we're to follow in his steps if we're going to live the true life of a Christian. It's so important for us to do that. Because when we often fail to see the requirements that God has given to us to fulfill as believers. I know we talk about salvation as a free gift. And I mean, comparatively speaking, for what you had to give up to what you got, yeah, what you gave him was diddly squat. But you had to give him your all because you entered into a blood covenant, and then he gave his all into us. You see, I love this part where God wasn't satisfied just to give us a ticket to heaven. That he wanted to have a relationship with us in this side of heaven. That he could bless us and draw us closer to him all the time. Continuously. The truth about Christianity is that it's a crucified life that's based on absolute love. Not duty, but love. It wasn't duty that drew me into the military service. It was my love for this country. And that was back when they were having all of the different riots, and they were having all these demonstrations against the war and all of that. People expressing their opinions this way and that, you know, but I just had a love for this country. I don't know why. My dad was a military man. He served in Korea, was wounded, was a POW. Nearly died, lived to be 85. Tough old fart. But that was my dad. He was the Iron Man. But knowing that and knowing what had been handed to me as, you know, living in this country was all that I needed. I was there because he was here. You see, the seeds of this were planted in my heart as a child. And that's the thing. We have to continually implant this into our children, how great this country is. Yeah, it's got a lot of problems. Yeah, there's ding-dongs running the show where they shouldn't be. But this country stands and still stands today, over 200 years after its birth. When Columbus put the flag in, he dedicated this place to the Lord Jesus Christ, this entire country. So did the Pilgrims, and so did many others, the Jamestown settlements. It's important, you know. I can remember back in the day when I was walking into my friend's house and over here on Moore Street. And of course, like I said, I'm 2 years out of high school, going on 3 years out. Walked in the door, and I said, you know what? I made up my mind. I'm going into the Navy. And there was about eight of my buddies there sitting there looking at me like I fell out of a well. And only one of them decided, I'll go with you. Remember, Mark, that was Claire, my buddy Claire. So we went into the boot camp together, and we thought, I'm sure, a bunch of different times. I know I did. What have I done? There's nothing like being, you know, given the third, fourth, and fifth degree because you didn't fold your underwear just right in the footlocker. I said, you know, well, what the heck has that got to do with anything? But it was all part of the master plan to get my attitude wrapped around something more than myself. It's so powerful for that, you know? See, having a servant's heart like that will change you. If you're over there in Matthew chapter 8, let's take a look at that. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5. Oh, this is a great scripture. Matthew chapter 8 and starts in verse 5. Jesus is in the healing business. I mean, he's touching people right and left. And in verse 5, it says, now Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, a Roman soldier came to him, a man who was in charge of 100 men in his troop, came to Jesus, pleading, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. No problem. I'll come and heal him. Man wasn't even a Jew. In fact, he was part of the occupational army that was keeping, you know, all of Israel under the control of Rome. He says, I will come. I love this. And heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. Man, this guy had some guts, didn't he? I mean, nobody else around Jesus got it like this guy got it. He said, you just speak the word. I love this. And my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. This man who wasn't a covenant believer in the Lord God Almighty understood authority. You know, that was one of the things about the underwear. You know, because I didn't fold it right, I had to wear it on my head. And then I had a 280-pound man with no neck and a flat top about this far from my face is going, rawr, 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 you know. And I wish I hadn't done this, but I kind of chuckled. Yeah. Dead man walking. Because then he had to make an example of me. It was bad enough that he was doing all this stuff. It was about just trying to get you lined up into the whole mentality, what you had to have. And I chuckled. And boy, I learned that wasn't a thing to do. So many of my friends back in those days. And so many people today, because of this difference of attitudes between the servant, between the one who sacrifices for the one who willingly says, I am going to make a difference, versus those that have this feeling of entitlement. And we're seeing it dividing and splitting our country right in two. I know it would create no small, you know, tidal wave of anger if they reinstituted the draft. Now, I understand that. Nobody likes being told what to do. But at the same time, if they did, it jerked the slack out of a whole bunch of these cupcakes that don't know which bathroom to go in. I'm just saying, you know. They'll explain things to you in a way that you'll never forget. And one of the biggies was, is I learned how to submit to authority. You know, I thought I was doing okay, but really I wasn't doing okay at all. I mean, I'm telling you. I ran into this wall I don't know how many times when I went in the Navy. Because anybody who had one more day, you know, in the Navy than I did was my boss, you know, and that took a lot of getting used to. But at the same time, just like this Roman centurion, if you recognize authority, see, the Roman centurion didn't talk about the 100 men that was under his authority. He talked about him being under the authority of those that were above him. And he spoke to Jesus the same way. Jesus was under the authority of the Father. Embracing that can change your whole life. See, when I read the Bible, I read it kind of like what I had to do as back in my 20s as a military man. You know, this is telling me how it's going to be. Well, all right, then that's the way it's going to be. So I don't question as much what's in the Scripture, especially when he starts talking to me about what I'm supposed to do when I'm in God's army. Oh, it's great to be in God's family. Oh, yeah, I love it. I mean, he's spread out a banquet table for us. He says, come now, all things have been prepared. He tells us all these good things that come and the benefit package. Oh, my goodness. But then again, I'm in his army too. And I've got a mission to fulfill. I like the guy that said, you know, there's the two most important days in your life is the day that you're born. And the second most important day is the day you find out why. Why were you born? Why were you placed on this earth? What is your purpose? Because you're not a random biological accident between your mom and dad. You are divinely created. You are established with God's will before you ever took your breath of air. God had mapped out your life for you. And when you find out what that is, oh my gosh. But so many are under the whole attitude of entitlement. Do you realize that over 40% of people in this country are under some kind of government assistance? Now, I'm glad for that because it helps people to maintain what the, you know, their lives. Some of them are very, very needy in this way. That, you know, when I go up to the VA and I see the guys up there in wheelchairs and the guys up there with, you know, with prosthetic, you know, artificial limbs and different things like that, I'm like, thank you. I want to go right up to them and say thank you that they made a difference. And I do every chance I get. But you see, with me, I learned to submit to authority, even if it meant my death 1,000 feet under the ocean. Remember, I got on ships that sank on purpose. There's something strange about that, you know. 2 Timothy tells us in chapter 2, it says, now you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And then in Romans chapter 11, it tells us, chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto the death. Overcomers have that in common. It's not about me anymore. I know that all my needs are going to be supplied by his riches and glory. That's not a problem. If I will just do my part, I know God's going to do his part. Don't you worry. God's on the throne. Like I shared with Rusty, he's not sitting up in heaven eating Rolaids worried about your situation. God's got a plan. And sometimes when there's a door that's closed in front of you, it's only because God's got your wants to get your attention to something that's far better over here. But you've got to keep the switch of faith on because you're in God's army. He's going to take care of you. See, heaven needs heroes for today's battlefield. And believe me, it's a battlefield. The devil never called a truce. And we darn sure shouldn't. The power of heaven is on our side. In Matthew chapter 20, go ahead and turn there. If you don't have it, she's going to pop it up on the screen. Matthew chapter 20. We live in a very odd kind of an army. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are of great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, just like Jesus did, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, when that gets ingrained on the inside of you, it changes everything. It changes the way you look at every situation. I can remember we were out last week down to Tulsa. We went for a men's conference. Oh, buddy, we got fed red meat. I'm telling you what. Whoa, ho, 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 ho. And all the services, it was deep spiritual food that hit you right between the eyes. It was men talking to men about being men. You know, that was really good. But they had a meal for us that one day. You know, we had lunch there right on the campus. And, buddy, it was fantastic. Wouldn't they have that? Carrabba's or something like that brought it in. They were the caterers. And so anyway, when we're all done eating and we're sitting with all kinds of people we'd never met before, and as soon as I'm done eating, I get up and, you know, I'm going to take care of my plate. Well, I got two hands, so I'll put somebody else's plate, and if I can put four or five plates, I start bussing tables. Guys around me knew that I was a pastor, and they were there as men of faith that came with their pastor, and they were just kind of like, whoa, 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 wait a minute, what are you doing? I said, cleaning off your plate. You done? Why? Because that's what makes me feel good on the inside. That's what me being the greatest of all means you're the servant of all, right? And I always want God to look down from heaven and go, yeah, that's a hero that I can use right there. because he's not full of himself. He's not living kind of on a pedestal. I never wanted to be a pedestal preacher because I knew I was going to fall off. And the higher you're up on a pedestal, the higher you bounce when you hit the ground, you know. Think about it. I choose to do my part every chance I get. I'm a 36-year veteran of God's army. And I know the best is yet to come. But I also get to set the example. I mean, anytime you see us around here all the time, whether it's the trunk or treat or some kind of a banquet or the hog roast or whatever, I want to get right in there with the best of you. I don't want to stand aside and go, well, yes, I'm the pastor. No, that's no fun. That's not where Jesus would be. You guys have gone over and above again and again and again. It was a couple of years ago. I think we had, what, 3 hog roasts in 1 year? One for the police department and one for our anniversary. And I think we had another one earlier in the year. It was just one of those times where your tongue was dragging because you poured out everything you had to make it happen. You guys are in the same mold. You're walking down the same footsteps of the path that Jesus took. I mean, you're just there, whether it's being an usher or a greeter, whether it's the praise team or the children's ministry, it doesn't stop. I mean, everything we do together, and we do it because we love the Lord. I'm just reminding you that that's what service and sacrifice is all about. And on Veterans Day, as veterans of God's army, I know the heaven is standing and applauding you. They tell us in Bible school, you know, that something called the Pareto Principle. Sounds weird, but okay. Whoever invented it, I guess, gets to name it. So they pick Pareto. I don't know. But it basically says that 20% of your people will do 80% of your work. 20% of your people do 80% of your giving. 20% of your people will eat 80% of the food on the buffet line. That's the little extra that's in there. We are so far beyond that. If you ever kind of looked at yourself and thought, I'm not normal. Is anybody with me? You know, yeah, I'm not normal. It's because we don't have that. Normal people wait for things to be brought to them, but the heroes of faith, the ones that are following in Jesus' footsteps, are the ones that just get involved. And by doing so, we make such a huge difference. We had over 425 people came through on the trunk or treat. We touched every single one of them. Every single one of them. Mark was doing hot dogs like a maniac back there. I'm telling you what, it was great. We had a good time, didn't we? But it was all about serving. See, God's life on the inside of us really kicks in when we live for Him alone. In Colossians, it's written this way. It says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord, Jesus. So when you go into work, don't work for the paycheck of the man who hired you. Work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have that attitude that says, I'm going to give my very best. I'm going to do more than just punch the time clock and do just as no more than what they want me to do. I'm going to be the guy that gets there a little early. I'm going to be the guy that stays over a little bit late. I'm going to be the guy that just says, yeah, we can do this, when everybody else goes grumble, 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 you know. I'm not going to get into that hog pen. My goodness, you know. Everybody's grouching about something everywhere you go. And I'm so glad, you know, if you'll draw near to the Lord like this, He will take so many of those opinions that want to jump out of your mouth and just kind of put them to peace, you know, over here so that you don't have to speak about every kind of opinion you got about everything that's out there because you're too busy serving. I saw so many times when God first touched me with this revelation. And He says it again over here in Philippians. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. I just recently got saved, and back in my late 20s, after being a Christian, going through my insanity in my teenage years, hormones are a drag. But anyway. And now I'm working for a fella, you know, here in town that he'd go through about a half a bottle of vodka before lunch. And then he'd finish it off before the end of his shift. He was in charge. And it's kind of hard working for somebody like that. And somebody who thinks that they have the right to boss you around and everything else, it doesn't know a flipping thing about what you're doing for a living. I've been an electrician for 20 years. Part of what I learned in the Navy. And then God touched me with this reality, and it set me free in so many different ways, because it creates roadblocks in your life for blessings to come in that God wants to send into your life. But when my attitude melted, when I saw that and I realized what God was trying to do in my life, see, you can do it one of two ways. You can do it as hard as you can, your way, or you can do it God's way. And I'm telling you what, I tried both ways, and God's ways is just so much easier and so much sweeter. So I decided I was going to shift my attitude that I had towards my boss, you know, the guy who was at the top of the food chain in the place that I was working. I changed my attitude towards him, and I started praying for him. Was he messed up? Yeah. So am I. So are you. So I just started praying for him, and I realized, you know what? They get the privilege of giving me a check at the end of the week. Isn't that great? But I'm working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, it changed everything. My joy meter got so high. I mean, it was just great going into work every single day. And not only was my boss a challenge, but all the guys that were around me, it was such a crazy, I walked into that place, I started working, I thought, man, this is the greatest place I've ever worked. And about halfway, about a year into it, I realized this is the worst place I've ever worked. Because everybody's trying to stab everybody in the back. It was the craziest thing. But in that crucible, in that place where sacrifice and service met a changed heart, a transformed heart attitude, man, I'll tell you what, I had a great time. These guys that just used to drive me crazy, I'd stop on the way into work, and I'd make sure I'd go ahead and pick up a dozen donuts from McLaughlin's back when he was still had his donuts going. I'd bring them in for the guys that were trying to get me. And I just delighted myself in the Lord, and he continually poured grace in and more grace. Heaven is looking for heroes just like you. Just like you. So why not? We're called to be the salt and the light of the world, aren't we? We're called to make a difference. And also to make a difference in a world that hates us. But that's okay. You know what? They hated Jesus. They hate me. I don't care. I'm just going to keep pouring out the love, you know. It's nothing new. In Christianity, from Pentecost even until today, this is the way it is. You know, they don't mind if you talk about God, because God is a generic word, and you can use God any which way. The Muslims use God and so forth and so on. But don't use the J word, you know, Jesus. Yeah, because he said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and nobody gets to the Father except through me. Why, that's discrimination. You go create the universe and you do it your way. But Jesus said it this way. And people get upset about that. You know what? We got to live openly as examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means sometimes you're going to take it on the chin. I remember back in the 70s when they were coming, the soldiers were coming back from Vietnam. They spit on them in the airports. They would carry on baby killer, all this other nonsense. Man, what kind of... But these guys still served. Some of them gave their last full measure of devotion. We got to be the peacemakers, folks. We're called to be the peacemakers if we're in God's army. Instead of joining the conflict by putting in your 2 cents worth, make a difference. Make a difference. I was sharing with some friends, you know, about how back in the day, you know, when you get around guys at work and guys are always talking about their mother-in-laws. Oh, my mother-in-law is so terrible. And then you just fill in the blanks. And one guy gets done with that, and then somebody else tries to top that, and then another guy and another guy. You know, and I just sit there and start giggling. They look at me kind of funny. I go, I got the best mother-in-law in the whole world. Man, I'm telling you what, she bakes cookies and brings it over. She is so cool. And I just went on, and all the other guys just shut up. I was like the party pooper. You know, because everybody was getting into poor me kind of thing, you know. But I was so full of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just tell them about my mother-in-law. She was so cool. Now, my mom died when she was 47, so, you know, I didn't have a mom for most of my adult life. I never got to pay her back for being such a ding-dong as a teenager. You know, that was my biggest regret in life. Because, buddy, I stretched her pretty hard, let me tell you. But she kept believing in me. So all I got is my mother-in-law. So I just double up on her. Bragging on her all the time. She was the coolest lady. She never had a bad word to say about anybody ever. And I thought, wow, that is so precious. Because, you know, she got put down by a whole lot of people. Go here to Hebrews chapter 10. So you gotta keep this point where you're stirred up and you're filled up so that you don't get weary in well-doing, because it's so easy to get wore out. It's so easy to throw your hands up in frustration and say, that's it, I can't take it anymore. And then you want to just lash out. Lord, can I punch them in the nose and pray for their healing? I've never got a yes on that one, you know, because there have been times where I've just been pushed up into the corner. And I'm like, my old flesh wants to react, but no. Don't grow weary in well-doing. The Bible promises that you shall reap if you don't faint. So that means we got to draw close to Jesus. Hebrews 10 says it this way, and having a high priest, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession, of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider, let us all consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why would God say that? Well, if you read the rest of the prophecies about the end times, it's going to go from bad to worse to you got to be kidding me. And if you're not drawn in closer to the Lord, you can get swept away. This whole world is just really going nuts. And there's a part of us that wants to react with the anger that's being shown towards us. But that's not the way Jesus lived. That's not the kind of soldiers that we are. We're the soldiers in God's army, and God is love. So we've got to be love-centered in everything that we say and do. So many today are being in danger of being swept away. They come to church once a month. Or sometimes they just come to church. That's the new average, by the way, is once a month. How are you going to stay close to God just once a month? If you don't read your Bible, if you don't spend time in prayer. Well, I worship at home. No, you don't. Tell me the last scripture that you read. I ask people that, you know, because I want them to begin to see themselves beyond. Because we judge ourselves by our intentions and we judge everybody else by their actions. And that'll get you in trouble. Because good intentions will pave the highway to you know where. You don't want to go down that road. But yet people are that way. Or do they just say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. Really? You got scripture for that? Because love told us we need to draw together. Love says you better feed off of me in an ever-increasing way as the day gets close to the return of Jesus. November 11th, 1918. War to end all wars. We got a mighty foe named Satan. And he's trying every way he can to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Jesus said he does. He's in the final push to take control of the whole doggone earth. And he's getting closer than you could ever imagine. That's why we see so much battling when it comes to draining the swamp that's in our government. They're fighting hard. We got to become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, you know. I like what Francis Chan said, tremendous pastor, minister out in California. He says, we have lost something so central to the essence of what it means to be a Christian. Becoming a Christian is complete and total surrender of your own desires and your own flesh to the higher purpose of serving God's glory. It means that you die to yourself and put on Christ. That's what you're signing up for. You're in God's army. Time to report for duty. Time to trust in your commander in chief. Time to step up and say, Lord, I want to do something impossible today. I don't want to do it in my own strength because I know what's going to happen if I do that. But Lord, show me. Who's going to be in the Faith Hall of Fame as a hero of heaven? In Hebrews, it talks about the Hall of Fame of Faith, but those are all Old Testament believers. Samson and Moses and David and all those, you know. But yet, you know, our Hall of Fame of Faith is written in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is the only book in the Bible that has not been finished being written. You read it, there's no end on that book. He closed out the first chapter. The book of Acts is still being written. And who will be the heroes of today? Who will be those that simply say, Lord, Here am I, send me. But by the way, Lord, I need a fresh infilling of you because I want to do it in your power and in your might, with your wisdom, the way that you would have me do it, when you would have me do it. So who's going to suit up every day and ask for the impossible to be their task for today? Who's going to do that? If it's not you or me, who's going to do it? Who will seek out the lost, the hurting, or the broken soul that needs a touch of kindness? Who's going to do that? That's where you get the hero of heaven. Someone who's looking for the broken. Who's going to hunker down and pray in their ward room, in their war room, until something happens? That's the prayer philosophy of PUSH. Pray until something happens. Who's going to do that? Who will sincerely repent of the secret sins that have weighed them down? Honey, we all got them. Every single one of us. We haven't arrived yet. That's okay. God still loves us. He knows it. But we don't get set free from them until we see it and then ask God to forgive us. And then, wow. Who's going to offer themselves up as a living sacrifice? Holy and pleasing to Him. You know, when I got on that submarine the first day, well, actually, when we went out to sea the first day, because I got on the submarine when we were in the shipyard, so we were welded to the pier. There was no danger, or much. But the first day when we went out, we steamed out of that harbor in Connecticut. Ship has been all tore apart and welded back together by a bunch of drunk shipyard workers. What could go wrong there, right? And we took it out on the first day, and they didn't tell us this until we were out. I mean, you're cruising out on the surface, and next thing you know, they close all the hatches, and you hear the dive alarm. And the floor just starts to tilt under your feet, and the sub goes down. They didn't tell us that on that first day out, they were going to take it down to see if the warranty was still good, if it could go down to the maximum depth. First day out. I knew right then and there, you know what? This is what I signed up for. When I raised my right hand and took the oath, it was whatever it takes. Wherever you send me, whatever I do, I'm going to do it with all of my heart because I love my country. But how much better is it when you're doing it for the Lord? We did, by the way, have a leak at 1,300 feet that made grown men cry. But we came back up and found out it was really not that big of a deal. But at that kind of pressure, it sure looked like a big deal. But you know what? You do what you got to do. Because back in those days, I was on a submarine that had all the missiles. On our submarine, the missiles had more firepower than everything that was released by everybody in World War II on one ship. We kept the Russians honest. They weren't going to send their nukes because they couldn't find us in the submarines. And we had enough firepower to eliminate Russia, to where there's just nothing but cockroaches and Twinkies. But it happened because I decided I'd go. And I would do whatever it took. And if it meant the end of my life, well, okay. Of course, you don't dwell on that too much. But through it all, I stand before you today, a changed man, because I entered into the attitude of service and sacrifice. And now I'm doing it for the Lord. How could it get any better? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because I know it's just, well, the best is yet to come. So when the Lord offers me an opportunity to make a difference, I just go for it. Now, He doesn't tell me everything that's going to take place. You know, in the Navy, they didn't ask you your opinion. They just told you what to do. And whatever happened when you went to do it, that was up to you. You had to figure it out. You had to persevere. You had to find a way. And with God, it's kind of the same way, except He's going with you, so that's good. But you don't know everything from the end to the beginning, what all that is going to entail, but you just say, yes, sir, I'll go. I'm not going to quit. I refuse to quit. And I hope that same attitude is a part of your makeup, too. I'm going to find the presence of God in my personal life in a deeper and more rewarding, more substantial way, so that when He says to me, it's time to step out of the boat, I'll step out of the boat. I know He's going to help me walk on the water. That's okay. Doesn't make any difference. Because He's called me to succeed. 2 Chronicles puts it this way. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal towards Him. God's out there looking. Where's my hero? Who's going to be the one? And it's not for the great big things that you think really matter. It's for the little things. That when you're all wound up on the inside and you want to growl and bark and carry on, that you respond in love. In spite of what your emotions are telling you is right. You're following the Lord. You're touching a life. You're praying. You're a doer of the word, not just a hearer. That's how you become a hero in heaven. Wow. Then we thought it was all a whole different program, didn't we? No. It's the little things you do every single day because you realize it's not about you anymore. It's about him. And whatever he wants. Hey, we're veterans in God's army. Why not? Why not go for it all? Because in the short time that we have on this earth, I don't know, I'm 64 now. How many more years I got? I don't know. If my dad's any measure, I got 20 more years. I don't know. If Jesus tarries, I don't think it's going to be that long before the trumpet sounds. But when I get to heaven, 100,000 years from now, everything that I enjoy will be based upon, at least in a measure, what I did on this side of heaven. How I lived for him. How I chose faith over fear. How I decided to walk in love and give myself away. That's what makes the difference in heaven. That's what rings the bell. And we can all be veterans, walking in that long procession of Christians throughout eternity that just said, yes, Lord, when we were called to do something. I just encourage you to go a little deeper in where you've been. Stay a little longer. Expect a lot more than you've ever received. Just like that fellow in Sacramento. Tumor on his brain. It ain't looking good for the home team. It's wrapped around certain areas in his brain that they could find with an MRI that said, ooh, I don't know about this one. And he went to the Lord, and it just disappeared. Yeah. How big is your God? Whole lot bigger than your problems. And he's a whole lot closer to you than you could ever possibly imagine. Watching over you, filling you. Every time you open the door to him, he's coming in, but he ain't going to knock the door down. It's up to you. But God is so good. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you this morning for power and grace, for life and loyalty, for the love, Lord, that continually flows from your throne like that mighty river that you described in the Old Testament, Lord. We just want to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. We want to jump in that river and swim around in your love and draw other people closer to you, standing in faith against the powers of darkness, seeing every victory won by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And can I say your kids are about the coolest kids that I've seen in this church in a long time. My goodness, little ones, and they're just sitting there, everything's cool. I love it. Must be your good parents. I'm sure of that. Thanks. Be blessed. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed and got something out of this message. Thank you again for listening. Join us at Oasis of Love Family Church at 341 North Hudson Street in Coldwater, Michigan. Our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. and our Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m.